absolutely hate Tekashi 6ix9ine. The way he just screams everything, like, it just hurts listening to his music. And that's something that, like, I don't get behind. Like, I cannot get behind music that's just, like, constant screaming into a mic. Welcome back to the Statues Podcast. With me, I have my co-host, Crystal. And on today's episode, we're going to start a little more lighthearted than we usually do. We just finished watching the Ted Park and Justin Park music video for Adore You, Dior You.
It was actually really good.
Right?
Actually really, really, really good. I wasn't expecting it. You see, they are really amazing artists. They make amazing music. I didn't realize that the world needed them together to make even better music. See, it was really good.
With Ted Park, I like some of his music. And, like, some of his music is, like, a hit or miss for me. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Justin Park, like, his like, R&B vocal style is, like, totally my style.
It's really nice. It's, like, it's relaxing, but it's also, like, it puts you in the mood.
Yeah.
Like, it really puts you in the mood, and I really like that song. That song was really, really good.
Oh. And it wasn't structured like a normal, like, featured song where it's, like, first verse, Ted Park, second verse, or, like, chorus, you know, like, Justin Park.
I think it was more like the first verse was both of them together, second verse, both of them together, it was the very chorus
cohesive.
Together.
That's why I loved it. It was so cohesive. The music, the song was, like, I don't know, it was so good.
It was actually really, really good. Like, you know, my favorite part of, actually, I love the entire song. I think I just really enjoyed the beat with it too. Mm-hmm. The choice of beat was A+. I really liked it. It was very catchy, and now that it's almost summer, it fits. It puts you in that mood where, yes, it's gonna be summer. Yes, you know, we might not be going out and doing stuff, but it still helps you look forward to the new season.
That song was such a perfect song. Mm-hmm. I wanted to show you before we started the podcast, not because I was gonna implement it into the podcast, but literally because it was such a good song. I was listening to it all day.
Mm-hmm.
It came out, I think, yesterday.
You know, whenever I like a song or it's new, I always listen to it on repeat. So now I'm gonna have that on repeat while we clean up later.
Yeah,
because it's so good.
So good. I love Justin Park's vocals. He still has that, like, old school R&B style.
Doesn't help that he looks good too. So. Mm-hmm. He looks really good. So yeah. It's like, not only does he have a beautiful voice, his looks go along with it. So it's a win-win. I you know, I really enjoy Justin Park's music. I always have. I don't think I've listened to a song that I've yet to hate.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Maybe it's because he's one of those artists that at first you listen and you think, okay, maybe I won't like his music, but we'll give it a try. And then you listen to the next song and then the song after that and you're like, oh, he's good.
He is one of those artists that, like, the moment I listened to his songs, like, I fell in love with his style.
You know, he's like, for me, like, in that reference, he's like Post Malone. Post Malone came out with music and at first I was like, I don't know, maybe he's just gonna be like a one hit wonder, one song's gonna be super good. And then after that he released every single song and I loved all of it.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of those people.
You know, I love, I think the first song that got me into Justin Park was On the Low.
Oh, yes, yes. That's the same song that you showed me.
Yeah.
And that's how I got hooked. I've been absolutely obsessed with his music. It's just really fun. Like, he's just like his music is just like really fun and relaxing. Just something that you could just vibe to. Or even if you're just having like a relaxing day and you want to just crack open a book, it's just one of those music.
Mm-hmm. I love his style. Mm-hmm. Ted Park, like, I think I knew him before I knew a couple of his songs before he signed to Higher Music.
Mm-hmm.
But then I know that he's not on Higher Music's roster anymore.
Oh, why?
I don't know. I think he left and did his Higher Music on good terms and just went with his own management.
That's fair.
Well, because like Hiya Music, they didn't really do much promotion in the States. They got bigger out in Korea.
Yeah, that's because with AOMG though. But AOMG is like their main, the main group, like of like the company. So it would make sense because a lot of the artists are from Korea in that part of the company, anyways.
Mm-hmm. So it's just easier. I know a lot of their Seattle rappers and their American artists are no longer on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
They still do collaborations with them, but I know they're not on the roster. Because I know that Hiya Music is a lot more, I don't want to say.
You know, it's not bad, but I understand because Hiya Music is more aimed towards like new music. And so whenever there's somebody new, they will come and help them. It's not bad because new, like music is always changing all the time.
Oh, and that's the thing, right? I'm no hate to Hiya Music. I love Hiya Music. Mm-hmm. I love a lot of their artists that are on that roster right now.
It's really good, though.
PH1, Big Naughty just released that album. Mm-hmm. Have you listened to Big Naughty's album?
Mm-mm, not yet.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. You need to listen to the one song here. So this is Joker with Jamie.
Oh, man. That was really good. That was actually really, really good.
Right?
Oh, that was so good.
I told you, yo, Hiya Music is killing it, yo. Their roster is so good.
Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Like, the fact that PH1, I love PH1.
Mm-hmm.
His musical style, his rap, his vocals, his melody lines, like, oh my goodness. Like, it's so on point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Right now, with how, like, Hiya Music's roster is, and especially because they're still doing a high school rapper.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I think, is it Jay Park? He's a producer.
Jay Park, Simon D, Loco, PH1, Woogie.
So pretty much all of AOMG.
AOMG, Hiya Music, and then you have Daytona Music. So Daytona is The Quiet and Yamada.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
And then you have Ambition. So you have Weiched and Changmo. Oh my god, just the fact that lineup. Okay, so I heard that the show itself wasn't doing good, but the lineup was amazing. But I was watching like some of the clips,
mm-hmm.
and I gotta say, like, these kids are hella friggin' talented.
Is this season much better?
I personally think so. I think the music style is a lot more mature. Like the way Big Naughty is,
yeah,
that's a lot of how this season kind of goes.
Yeah, because the music and the choice of beats and all that, it's, you wouldn't think that he's 16, 17. Like he's a teenager. You would never think that's how old he is because his voice is so, it's so mature, but it's so, his vocal range, it's big. It's amazing. The way he hits those high notes flawlessly.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love the song so much.
Let me see. Like, right now with how high school rapper is going, like ballin'. Oh, yeah, and Marani came out with a new song, Daisy featuring PH1.
I think you showed me that, no?
Yeah, I did. I think I did, but oh my goodness. What do you think?
You know what the thing is? It's like I said, I don't hate her music. She's not my, you know, I don't like female rappers. And so for me, it's hard to get into her music. But it's like we've always said it from Show Me the Money, her progress was the one that I was the happiest and the proudest of, because at the beginning, I really did not like her at all because her rap was really, and this is just my opinion, okay, is that I thought her rap wasn't good. And then towards the end, the progress and how much she's grown since then is amazing. And I'm really happy for her that now that she's signed, I don't hate it. It's a really good song. It's well done. And the production was really good. I just can't get into the production.
The production has to be good because it's by Groovy Room, okay?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Like, I was so happy to hear that Groovy Room started their own label that was subsidiary to Hire Music.
Yeah.
Area. I think they're called Area. Mm-hmm. And they have another R&B vocalist called Gemini.
I think I've heard.
Yeah, he did. I think his first official release under Area was featuring Jay Park.
Huh. I think I know who you're talking about. I just love Korean music in general. The Korean music is the industry and the amount of the underground artists. It's insane.
Oh, and that's something that I appreciate because I used to be into K-pop. But I walked away from K-pop because, I don't know, it just so... To me, it got washed out. It got really washed out.
Oh, I want to say something.
I'm not slandering K-pop. I love K-pop. I will listen to it here and there. You know, K-pop has
really good music. There are a lot of groups out there that I feel like definitely deserve the recognition. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, I'm not going to name any groups. I'm not going to name who. It's just for me, this is how I see it because... Every group that comes out now, for some reason, it's just to me, there's like a formula. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is how the sound we gotta get, this is how you gotta look, and this is how you gotta dance.
Yeah, it's like an assembly line.
Exactly.
And I think that's why I love Korean hip hop, is because the way these Korean hip hop companies, they're established by the artists themselves. So when they're establishing it, it's with that creative freedom to do your own music. And if you're not going to release any music, then you're not getting promoted.
Yep, that's true.
And, like, that's why I really enjoy it, is, like, companies like Daytona and Ambition, Hire Music, AOMG, like, VMC, like, those dogs there. Mm. I enjoy the music from the artists because... It's almost like a representation of their creative mindset.
Yeah. You know, I really enjoy listening to small-time artists or ones that are not, like, really, like, yet famous on a level of, like... And I'm just putting them, like, as that comparison, like, of being famous, like, you know, like, oh, man, who's that? It was at the top of my head. Biggest brain fart ever. But compared to like big companies where they're like still, you know, underground, I prefer them because there's nothing restricting their musicality. There's no one there telling them how they should write their music, how they should sing, how they should do things. And so when they're writing their music, it's pure because there's uninterrupted thoughts.
Yeah, I'll show you a quick clip of Gemini and Jay Park's music video Trip.
Oh man, his voice is so beautiful. Oh man, I keep saying that to everybody, but I really do enjoy their music. You know, I'm very picky when it comes to music.
Oh no, I am too. I think that's why I'm so picky with music. That's why I love Korean hip hop, is because Korean hip hop and R&B, you have artists like Dean. You have artists like Zico, okay? These artists, they're well-known, but in their respective fields, they're well-known.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, they're not like K-pop artists where they're known for being just a K-pop star. Like, if I know Jay Park, then I know Jay Park because of 2PM, AOMG, Hire Music. I know him because of all the stuff that he's done. I followed him since 2PM, since the beginning of 2PM.
And then after he left.
And then after he left, when he did the Nothing on You cover. And then he was coming back with Cha Cha Malone. Okay. I was such an avid fan of Korean hip hop. Like, I grew up on Korean hip hop. Mm-hmm. I grew up on YG Family. Before YG was the way it was, I grew up on One Time. I grew up on, you know, like, I grew up on, like, Young GD and Young Taeyang. I grew up with Jinyu and Sean. Like, that's the kind of music that I grew up with, and that's the kind of music that I ended up, like, following even till now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Drunken Tiger.
Yeah.
Dynamic Duo. Like, all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I get to see all these new companies rise up, like even Super B, Do you know who Super B is?
I think so.
He was on Show Me the Money. He was one of those rappers that, like, at first I found very annoying. But then after he kept coming out on Show Me the Money, his progress as a rapper really showed.
I forgot. What season was that?
Oh, man. I don't even know. I think he came out, like, 3 times.
On the show?
Yeah.
Oh.
He did a song with BY called Super BY.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, even BY, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I love BY. You know I love BY.
You're the biggest fan.
Mm-hmm. Like, and that's why I love Korean hip-hop, is the versatility of Korean hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
You have, like, those Korean hip-hop artists that, like, are Jay Park and Zico, who can go R&B and do dancing, and then, you know, that, and then those that strictly stay in that lane. Doki's coming back. He's making a comeback.
When was this?
I saw the news yesterday. It was like a behind the scene of him shooting a music video in the States or something.
Was this on his Instagram?
I have no idea.
Man, he's been gone for so long. You know what, though, is that I remember getting into K-pop because an acquaintance of mine, and then, you know, I started really getting into it, and I remember my first group was Teen Top, and I kept saying that they made really good music and they weren't getting enough recognition for the group. And then I started dabbling into, like, other K-pop groups, and then slowly I was just, for some reason, though, is that because I was in a music program too, we were not forced, but it was encouraged that we listen to different kinds of music. And so, you know, I was listening to classical music, I was listening to American music, and then I was listening to Vietnamese pop music too, you know, like, even at that time, a mm-hmm. little bit. So, but for some reason, because I was really attracted to, like, the, you know, like, Korean music, that's what I was listening to often. But for some reason, every single time I was listening, it sounded... And it's like I said, I don't ever want to speak back, because music is music. Music is an expression of yourself. It sounded too similar, so I stepped away from it, and then branching out to different genres of Korean music and not just Korean pop music.
Yeah.
And that's when I, like, started, you know, discovering other artists too. And it's because of your help too, and you kept showing me, you know, like, Korean rap music, and I was like, oh, like, it's... It sounds so nice, because you know how I'm not a fan of rap.
Yeah, I know you're not a big fan of hip hop, but, like, when I started introducing you to Korean hip hop, it was different.
Mm-hmm. I was very impressed, actually.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all I'm used to is listening to, like, to American hip hop music, and the rap is, I don't like it. And this is just my own personal opinion. I don't like it because they rap about things that, how do you say this? Like, this is just new music, not old music. Okay, because the rap music you listen to is very different from what I grew up listening to.
Mm-hmm.
But they were rapping about, like, the ones that I heard was about, you know, drugs, sex, money, and you know, and all that stuff. So I wasn't a big fan of it until you introduced me to more music.
That's the thing. Like, with me, like, I love hip-hop music. I love, like, DMX. I love, you know, I love those old school guys.
Mm-hmm.
But with me, I also love, like, these new school hip-hop guys, like Big Naughty, like Trey Dell, like Changmo and all those guys, you know? I don't like what they would require. What they would say is mumble rap, just because, like, it's not my style, and I don't really understand. Like, I don't understand Korean hip hop. Trust me, I don't. But it sounds beautiful to me.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I think for you, where you're coming from, also, is that you grew up with hip hop music back in, like, what, the 80s to 90s. That's because your cousins were listening to that too. And so that music was very real. And what you say is like music from the hood. And so this was something that you could relate to. This is something that you understood and you could listen to and appreciate. But whereas mumble rap, from what I have heard, this is just based off of what I've listened to or what I've encountered, I don't understand what they're saying. It's exactly like that saying, mumble rap. I would like to appreciate your music and understand what you're saying. I would not like to Google up, you know, the lyrics just to understand. I want to be able to, in that moment, listen and be like, I get it.
Yeah, and this isn't like...
a jab. It's not. Yeah,
this is not a jab at mumble rap, because...
There's like, mumble rappers
for,
that are...
For me and for Crystal, like, the one thing about us is that we like... We do more than just listen to music. We listen to components of the song as well.
Yeah.
So, like a vocalization, you know, like
I'm very much about the technicalities when it comes to music. I might not know as much, and I don't claim to be like an expert on it. Definitely not. But I'm more of the technicalities on, like, if I'm listening to it, is this like. Is this person, when they sing that note, is it gonna be good? Yeah. Is it gonna be bad? Is there a little bit of the auto tuning in it? It's just that, like, we are more of the technical aspect, but by no means do we proclaim ourselves as experts.
Yeah,
by far.
Funny thing is, I only recently got into DaBaby. Do you know who he is?
I think I know. Is he that American rapper?
Yeah,
I'm just wondering. I think I've heard of him a couple. Oh yes, yes,
this guy. Yeah. Oh my gosh,
you know what I really enjoyed about that was that his switch, his flow, the way he switches mm-hmm. it, like, just flawlessly multiple times too, because I feel like for rappers, once you, like, if the beat is like really like fast like that, and then you're riding it in a certain like flow, it's hard to switch out of it because you're already in that flow, you're already in that state. So for you to switch up like that and as quick as he did multiple times like that, it's really impressive.
Yeah,
it's really, really impressive.
I told you, like, for me, the only way, like, I'll really get into like an artist is like if I watch freestyle videos and I really like them, like,
because they're
like Logic's freestyle was actually He did a freestyle like years back that was actually like dope as hell.
You know, I feel like freestyle really for rappers it really speaks loud about who they are, or not who, but how they are as a rapper and their like abilities, because to freestyle is very hard.
Mm-hmm.
To think of like words on the spot like that. And sometimes there are people out there that I've seen that can create like stories too,
mm-hmm.
like with the freestyling, and it's amazing. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I wouldn't be able to do that at all. Like, I will get flustered.
No, that's totally, even for me, like, coming up with words on the spot is already hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, trying to rhyme those words, that's another level.
Yeah, rhyming now, is another.
Yeah, and then now coming up with the freestyle that's riding a beat. Okay, now that's like next level. Because
mm-hmm.
he doesn't do the generic freestyle rap. Because there is a generic flow that people use when they're freestyling.
What, like a 4x4?
Yeah. Okay, and when you do it, it's kind of just like, okay, you're freestyling and you're kind of just... like, what rappers do a lot is, like, they'll take verses from, like, different songs of theirs and put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they'll have written something and remember what they wrote and then, you know, just generically put it in. Mm-hmm. Like, in Show Me the Money.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Right? So they'll do stuff like that. And I don't know if DaBaby does it like that, but if he does, and he made it fit.
Mm-hmm. He really did. Like, I remember you showing me that, and I was like, shit, he good. I was like really impressed, because it's like I said, not a big fan of rap music, but I know how to appreciate it, and it was really good.
Yep, that's something that, like, I think I've grown to appreciate since I was a kid. when I started listening to Korean hip hop. Because I remember listening to One Time's One Time. Their first song as One Time is called One Time. Maybe this is why I subconsciously went down the musical route.
Yeah, seriously. The way they, you could tell that they were heavily influenced. Obviously, you know, that's where hip hop came from, but just the way they dress too tells you exactly how influenced their music is.
Oh yeah. Like there's this one, like if you look at the way they dress, like this is how my cousins dressed back in the 90s and early 2000s.
Just like talking about music, growing up, I didn't listen to music because my parents, it's not that they didn't allow us to, but I don't think I don't think we had access to be able to listen to music. Even if we had the radio, I don't think we ever turned it on. Growing up, all I listened to was, I mean, it is music, you know, Vietnamese music, but I'm talking about like, because we grew up in Canada, I didn't listen to any English music at all. I listened to, you know, Vietnamese nursery rhymes, and if you know all my Vietnamese fans out there, Paris by Night, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. But besides that, I don't remember listening to music as kids, like little. I think I remember listening, my very first song that I could remember was Avril Lavigne Skater Boy, but this was back in when I was in, oh my lord, fifth grade. But I think the song came out way before that. Like, and oh, Michael Jackson, Black and White.
Yeah.
That was like, when I heard of Michael Jackson's music, I was mind blown. I was like, oh my goodness, where did this sound come from? Like, how is this even possible? Like, I didn't even know about Michael Jackson at all until later. And then when he like passed away, I had only been listening to his music for like maybe like 3 or 4 years at the most, maybe three. And then that was it. Like, I was like, what? I just discovered him and now he's gone.
Mm-hmm. And like when I was growing up, my musical influences were like really weird, because I grew up around like a lot of older cousins and younger cousins too. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to anything from what's that group? It was like some hardcore hip hop guys, and then I grew up with like Backstreet Boys, and then I grew up with like H.O.T. and then like some Japanese pop too. Mm-hmm. So I grew up with like this whole range of music. That's why like my music range to this day is, as they say, very vibrant.
Yep.
Because I love...
You listen to all types of music. Like from, you know, people see you as this hard exterior guy who they would only think listen to rap music, mm-hmm. like hardcore hip-hop music. But then once you go through his playlist, all he has, okay, outside of hip-hop music is all these really, like, how do you say it, bubbly music. Mm-hmm. What is that one song? It's by a group called Chocolate, or it was a Korean group.
Oh, yeah, Chocolate.
Yeah. So I was like, wait, what? You listen, what?
Yeah. I love, see, a lot of the groups that I love are no longer together, but I loved a group called, I think, Tiny G. I think I've shown you their music before. I think they were active in the early 2010s there. Is that them? I don't remember.
It's been so long.
Honestly. Like I said,
you know what? I didn't realize that a lot of people my age, like our generation, was listening to Korean music or Japanese pop music or you know Japanese music in general, like different types of music in different countries. I had no idea what that was. Like, my bubble was very small, but that's because growing up, we were surrounded by the Vietnamese community. That's all we knew, and that's all we saw. Even if I went to school, and, you know, there were different groups of ethnicity, outside of that, I went home, and it was just on weekends, whenever possible, it was just Vietnamese people, like the community. That was it. So I was, music, being exposed to music like that really, like, rocked my world. I was so shocked.
I think that's the beauty of music, right? The versatility that music has with each country and each person. Because music, what they say about music is, it's a universal language. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to understand it, but you can almost feel it. So like, like I listen to a lot of Vietnamese pop. You know that.
Yep.
I listen to Vietnamese pop. I listen to Chinese pop. I also listen to like Tibetan music. I listen to Thai music. Like, I love all these kinds of music, not because I know what they're saying, but because of how it makes me feel.
Yeah, no, and that's why I think music is very personal. I will always say this whenever somebody asks me about opinion on music, is that I don't have to like it, and I'm not going to hate it. But music is an expression of oneself. Whatever it is you're feeling, whatever it is you're going through, you're going to write about it. And then it just comes out beautifully. All you need to do and understand is how that person is feeling when they wrote it. And if you can do that, anything's possible.
Mm-hmm. I think as someone who listens to such a wide range of music, like, I don't just listen to American music or like, you know, like Korean hip hop. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I listen to quite a bit, but mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of Chinese and Vietnamese music as well.
You know, Chinese music, I like music that are in like the Chinese drama, and recently I'm not gonna say his name, but you know exactly who I'm talking about. He's been getting very popular on these Chinese music variety shows. That song that you showed me.
Yeah.
So I realized I really enjoy music like that. Like, it's so beautiful, and it just makes you feel some sort of way.
I think that's the beautiful part about music. You know, like, as I love, like, it's like I've said, okay, I listen to such a wide range of music that it's hard for me to keep up with music. Mm-hmm. So by the time, you know, like, it releases, to me, it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll have listened to it like 2-3 months later, and it's brand new to me at that point.
No, my friend doesn't even know about that person.
Who? Oh, really?
Yeah. I say, hey, do you know this? I've been listening to this. So, like, you know, I thought maybe she would know. She didn't even know about the group Mayday. Are they called Mayday?
Yeah, they're called Mayday.
Yeah, so I showed it to her, and she's like, no. I was like,
I got introduced I got introduced to Mayday and 1OK Rock from my cousins. You know, my cousins are such huge fans of Mayday and 1OK Rock. And I know that 1OK Rock just released a new song too, or a new album. I can't remember which one it was, but they're releasing one for, I think, tour.
Ooh, are you planning to?
I want to, because the thing about 1OK Rock is I love them because they go to smaller cities here.
But their tickets are fairly cheap, though, for like a, because their fan base is really big. And so it's surprising that the amount that the cost for their tickets is actually fairly low.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I kind of want to go one time at least. Because
mm-hmm.
I think there are only a couple artists that I will go to a concert for. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't really care for Like, I don't really care for music to that point. But I want to go for either 1 OK Rock, Logic, or Backstreet Boys.
If I could choose, I would go and see the Jonas Brothers. I would go see them. Why? I've been their fan since forever.
Okay. I don't think you can be a bigger fan than an acquaintance of mine. I've known her since, I knew her since high school, and then we went to college together. She was a year older than me. And dude, since high school, she was such a big fan. Even now, she's a huge fan.
I know pretty much all their songs. I've been listening for like the longest time. You know, though, is that like, I knew about them and I was listening to their music and then I was like, oh, this group's really good. Okay. But, you know, I didn't know who they were. And then slowly they got famous and I was like, whoa.
You know, the funny thing is, I think as I got older, because in high school, liking music like that for us wasn't considered cool.
Why? Right?
Well, because I listened to a lot of K-pop. Back in high school.
Yes.
So when I was in high school, I was listening to a lot of SNSD and I was listening to like Kara and I was listening to those old school people. Right? So back then, it wasn't cool. So we didn't say anything about who we like or like our music taste. But now as I get older, I'm like kind of like fuck it mentality. I'm like, yo, if you're going to make fun of my shit, then yo, make fun of my shit. Mm-hmm. Say what you want, but yo, like... I gotta say, like, I only recently got into Jonas Brothers.
I know, the shame, absolute shame. You know, this guy, I played one of their, like, you know, from their comeback albums, Happiness Begins. I played a song. Next thing you know, he goes, it's not good. I was like, okay, fine. And then next thing you know, we sit in the car and the song's playing. And I was like, okay, I'm down for this. You know, though, is that I think I would like to go because now that they're getting older, they all are like married. There's two out of the three have kids already. So they're like, you know, family, and they might not tour as often anymore because their priorities are going to be to their families too.
You know what it is? Groups like Jonas Brothers, like Mayday, like 1 OK Rock, I love groups like that. And even Backstreet Boys, I'll even put Backstreet Boys in there, is because their fan base has grown with them since they were kids.
Yeah. No, we were there. Like, I was there before, like, they were, like, you know, dating and all that, you know? And so before they even got, like, super baked, how they were after. And it was insane that now that I think I was watching in an interview. Oh, no, it wasn't an interview. It was their Amazon Prime docu-series or something
like
that.
Yeah.
They were saying how, oh, they were walking on the streets and their fans, like, who are adults now, they weren't fangirling. They weren't doing anything. They were asking them genuine questions like, hey, did you guys eat yet?
Yeah.
Did you guys rest yet? You know what? We're not going to take up your time. You know, you're going to be playing soon in a couple of days or, you know, how whatever it is. You know, it was really nice meeting you. And they were saying how they were really shocked because now that their fans are growing up with them, their mentalities have changed too.
And I think that's the most beautiful aspect of it. That's the absolute most beautiful aspect of it, is seeing your fans grow up with you.
Mm-hmm.
So like even for like a DMX just passed away. So he was a really old school rapper from mm-hmm. way back in the day.
Yeah.
But a lot of the fans now are like fathers, like mothers now. And you know, like even grandfathers. So when he passed away, like a lot of the comments that I saw were very, you know, like real comments saying, you know, like rest in peace, you know, like you were a big contribution to how we grew up. Mm-hmm. That to me is, I think, one of the most beautiful things about being an artist is seeing your fan base grow with you. Mm-hmm. And like for me, I'm a huge Justin Bieber fan. Okay? Huge Justin Bieber fan. I didn't like his early work. I didn't like it.
Really? But you were the one who bought you know, My World 2.0.
No, I bought his acoustic album.
Exactly.
Was twice. It that one?
Yes.
Yeah, so I bought it twice.
The shame.
So the thing about that is, I love his voice. Mm-hmm. But then now, I like, as a fan, I can look back on that album and then look back on this album that he just released. Mm-hmm. And he's grown. And then you look back on it, and I always say, it's like, when I look back on it, I was a kid too. But now, as a man, when I look at his album now, I'm like, damn. Like, your album speaks a lot of truth. Like, as a fan, I can feel, like, how you felt. Like, one song that came out that made me really feel it was Lonely. Mm-hmm. I love that song. Such a beautiful song.
You know what, though, is that Justin Bieber, I was listening to his music, like, I think when the first song came out was, I forgot what it was. Oh, man. Is it One Time? I think that was the first song that he released, like, officially signed. Mm-hmm. And so I remember listening to it when it actually came out, and I was like, oh, this song's so good. And then growing up with his music, too, I hate to say it, but you know, like, during that phase where he was acting like,
yeah,
I really didn't like it, and I was like, oh man, like, I was like, you know, like, I was his fan for so long, and oh, like, he's doing all of this, and then you know, now that mentality's changed, obviously. And now that I look back on it, I'm like, oh, man, like, he was just growing up, too. Like, he was just growing up, finding out his own thing.
You know what it is?
And you know, I was just like, it takes the good people around you to tell you that either you're wrong, you're right, and try to, you know, help you through those times.
I think something that made me more compassionate when listening to his music, and especially Lonely, was... when you look back, like, how he looked back, like, in Lonely, his music video, mm-hmm. he looks back on his life. And when he did that, it made me as a fan look back, too, and say, I was so critical for thinking the way I thought.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But as a person, I also did that. It's just I didn't have the money and I didn't have the fame, but I was still a shithead. So yeah. If I had the money, would I have been a shithead like that? Like, 100% guaranteed I would.
Mm-hmm. No, and I agree. That's why, like, you know, now I'm sitting here and I'm like, different mentality, you know, I'm in a different space growing up too. I agree with you, is that all of that we've all done, regardless of how big, how small, whatever it is, we've all gone through that.
And I think that's why I love music so much, is you get to see growth too, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if I were to take it back to, Jay Park, seeing him go from 2PM to now a CEO of AOMG and Higher Music, and him doing all that he's done, right? You see the growth in his music. That growth is also a growth in perspective of life. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't, I'm not going to say, I don't want to say, like, bad things about, like, old things that happen, right? Mm-hmm. But you learn from it, just like he did.
Yeah, of course.
And now look at it. AOMG has, like, some of the greatest artists in Korea. Mm-hmm. Higher Music is picking up traction like no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And bringing out amazing producers too, that people... okay, in a figure of speech, would die to work with.
Did you hear, though, that, so the, you know how that one member from GOT7 got signed to AOMG?
I forgot his name.
Yugum or something?
Yes.
Another member of GOT7, the leader, got signed to Higher Music.
No.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Really? Oh, man, they got, like, win-win. Winner-winner, chicken dinner.
Let me see. I heard it was, but I wasn't sure, right?
JB?
Yeah, JB.
Oh! Yo, that's a win.
Yeah.
Like, if that happens, that's a win.
I don't know if it happened or it's gonna happen or it's just in talks, but that'd be a dope lineup. And I'm not gonna say, like, I think it's just, I know a lot of fans are, like, thinking it the way I think it, too, is, like, it's almost like a big, like, fuck you to, like, JYP, you know? Like, come on, like.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. You know, because.
Because I know that GOT7 didn't leave on good terms, right?
You know, the thing is, though, is that, like, GOT7, they were, I'm not saying past tense, but I'm saying were, in a sense, where when they were with JYP, they were a really good group.
Yeah.
They had really good music. They just didn't get enough, like, publicity, enough, like, their management didn't do them justice. So now that they've left, and now, you know, obviously off doing their own individual things, still staying as a group, their opportunities now is just only going to get bigger.
Of course, because now I think all the members assigned to their own independent agencies, but them together is still GOT7, and I think that is going to be, like, if they ever come back to do a GOT7 album, like, that'd be dope.
They most likely will. I don't think they would ever leave their fans like that.
No, I think they just need the time to do their own thing, because I think they just ended their contract like a month or so back.
Yeah, because was it Jackson? Yeah, Jackson was on was on another podcast, and he was saying because of, you know, certain things that happened, he couldn't promote his music. But now that his contract has ended,
it's the stupid contract. And I know what that, as an artist who has had a contract, you're really limited to whatever your contract says. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine what, like, these Korean contracts are like. Because if it is like how, like, Jackson says it, where, like, he couldn't promote any of his other music in Korea, then, man, like, that is, like, even Chris Wu.
Oh, yes.
His contract with SM only ends next year, I think.
Yeah, he's had a lot of music, and still, I know he has a lot of music that still is not being released out because of whatever happened. So I'm just saying that it's great that these contracts are ending, because now they get to really fully promote their song and do more.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I'm honestly so happy.
It'll be the very happy ending that they all deserve.
Mm-hmm. They really do.
Music, like, even with, like, I love these guys, okay? Like, I love GOT7. I love the members of GOT7, because I followed some of the members' journeys, especially, like, Jackson. I think what Jackson did was amazing. Starting up his own team.
Team Wang, right?
Yeah. And, like, him collaborating a lot with, like, the Kinjas and, like, doing all that kind of stuff. Like, it's put his name out there.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Like, it's...
like, his international fan base is huge.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And it's like I said, his progress and his growth, even with the restriction of what was put on him, it's still amazing, because he's done so much with all that stacked against him.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. Sometimes I think these artists that are able to find their own ways around the contract, like Jackson, are real artists that deserve what they have.
Oh, yeah. No, they really do.
Like,
they really, really do.
Like, I love... you know what it is? I didn't like Chris Wu at first because the songs that I heard from him were all the auto-tuned ones. Like Juice and...
July.
And July. Like, I'm not saying those songs are bad. Like, they weren't too bad.
You know,
but they weren't...
understandable. You couldn't understand what he was saying with all that auto-tune.
And then, like, you listen to his Chinese songs.
Oh, yeah.
And they are so beautiful. Like, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. They really are. I prefer him doing his Chinese music than doing, like, English music. Because his Chinese music, it's like you said, it's very beautiful. And
I think with his American music, because I think with his American music, he's trying to reach out to what Americans like. You know what I mean? Because Americans, they don't like that old Chinese song, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't like those kind of songs.
I know. I know exactly what you're talking about, is that with that, he has to appease that side of his audience.
Yeah.
So it's sad, because if you really are, I'm not saying you have to like every music, but you should be able to appreciate that other music that the artist puts out.
I mean, that's part of being an artist.
Yeah, no, of course. Not everybody's gonna like your music.
That's the thing about American music, is like, look, like, if you look at the direction that Americans took music and went down, like, that mumble rap, they stayed consistent with that mumble rap. And then they went down the sing rap, using auto-tune for singing like that. But then, like, if you flip it the other way, where Koreans did the same thing, but if you listen to how Koreans did it, their foundation of music worked for that style of music. So you have people like Big Naughty CK. He uses auto-tune the way Americans use it. But if you listen to his music, it sounds beautiful. It sounds absolutely beautiful. And have you heard the way CK uses it?
Yeah, I think so. I think you played a few of his music in the car.
And like, I love his music. His music is... I like the way he uses auto-tune. You know what it is? It's almost like those hip-hop auto-tune rappers, and then like MGK style.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Is the way he uses auto-tune, I like it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's... I'm not saying other artists don't have musicality, but it all just comes down, really, to how you're able to rhyme and, you know, musicality. It really comes down to that.
Mm-hmm. Because, okay, I will say this, and I know fans of this guy won't like it, but I absolutely hate Tekashi 6ix9ine. The way he just screams everything, like, it just hurts listening to his music. And that's something that, like, I don't get behind. Like, I cannot get behind music that's just like constant screaming into a mic.
How do I say this? I know his fans aren't gonna like it, but I agree with you. Is that I really, out of all the artists out there, I really don't like his music. Mm-hmm. And this is just purely out of preference. It's just something about it I don't like. And it has nothing to do with what all the drama, the scandals, whatever it is. It doesn't, because when it comes down to music, music is just music. It really is.
Yeah.
Ooh. But I don't like it.
You know, there was a guy that I found. He used to be a part of Hire, but I think he left. It is Mokyo. One of his songs was so beautiful because I think it was about his life and how his mom died.
Aww.
Yeah, and like the way his music video and the way he interprets everything, it's so beautiful. It gives like this vision. It gives like this visual for the audience to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And like, here. I only know him because he works with a PH1.
Oh, okay.
So music like that, like, there's nothing to it, nothing extreme.
Mm-hmm.
His vocals, there's nothing amazing about it. Yep. But I think it's the simplicity of his production, the simplicity of his vocals, that and the simplicity of even the beat.
Mm-hmm.
It makes everything so cohesive. Yeah. It builds this visual, so when you're looking at it, you kind of feel it.
It's the buildup too. Mm-hmm. It is that, like, it's the small things that add up one on top of the other that allows you to be like, wow. Because it's a very simple song. It mm-hmm. really is, in terms of, like, how it sounds like. It's like I said, it's beautiful. Like, I really don't hate it.
Another artist that I truly and absolutely love, and you always make fun of me for it, is IU. Okay, I love IU.
No, I make fun of you because you're the biggest, in my opinion, fanboy. You get so giddy about her whenever she releases a song. And, like, if I jokingly make fun of her, you're like, oh my gosh, stop it. Okay, that's my wife.
You can't make fun of her, okay? You love her dramas. You love everything that she
does. She's an amazing artist, and I love her dramas. I really do. Her dramas are really good, and
the thing, okay, even for me, I hate watching dramas. Absolutely hate watching dramas.
Hey, but you are willing to give Hotel de Luna a chance. But
when you introduced me to Hotel de Luna, I was, even knowing that IU was in it, I don't watch dramas with it because
just dramas are too long.
Yeah, and like,
I don't want to sit there after 300 episodes, then the climax actually happens where she gets slapped, and then, you know, this happens and this happens.
Yeah, and because that's the thing is, right, with K-dramas, I don't like watching K-dramas. I prefer watching Japanese dramas, because Japanese dramas, they get right into it and then they finish it. Mm-hmm. Korean dramas is like, okay, this happens in like episode 3, and then by episode 7, like, oh, someone slaps someone here. Oh, and then some betrayal happens in like episode like 16, and then like 30 episodes later, something else happens, you know?
No, Korean dramas are really long. I've watched a Korean drama that I think that was almost to 300 episodes long. And I was committed to watching every single week, okay? KBS, okay? Every single week they release it. But the drama was almost 300 episodes long. But you know what? I stuck it out because I wanted to see the ending. Because I know if I didn't see the ending, I was going to get, you know, a little bit.
But I think that's why Korean dramas work, is because they know that there are people out there that will watch because they want to know.
Yeah, that's
true. And they hook people like that.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Hotel de Luna, though, was a really good drama. I am a hit or miss for Korean dramas. Not because of how long it is, more so of the story. Because for me, I want the story to be interesting.
Yeah,
I want it to be captivating, and not has to be over the top dramatic, but it has to be there. And I think I saw a snippet of it. That scene where she walks into I forgot, it was like a press conference, and she goes and goes poof, 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 with the guy. And then so I saw that scene. I think I saw it on TikTok or on Instagram, and I was like, oh, I have to see it. First episode, hooked. So good.
And that's the thing about Hotel de Luna, was I was hooked because of the story. It was just the IU made it just a little better to watch.
Okay. Sure.
No, because I've watched many dramas with actresses that I love. But if the story doesn't get me, then I won't watch it, because I'm not going to stick around just to watch an actress and an actor. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the only couple dramas that I've actually watched in my life were Secret Garden, City Hunter, and then Hotel de Luna.
You know, though, was that the story was really captivating. I really enjoyed the story. It was because it talked about the people that she was. It was her story, but it was also about the people that was involved in her life that came and go, and then every staff member in that hotel. And then towards the end, that final episode, I was bawling my eyes out. I was crying so hard because, yes, she got to love, but I wanted that happy ending for her so badly.
You know what it is? I think Hotel de Luna, for people that believe in that kind of stuff, like the afterlife, because with Asians, we understand the nuances of what Hotel de Luna is trying to get at. So we understand the whole premise. We understand the whole premise of Hotel de Luna. Mm-hmm. The individual stories that intertwine with the premise of the story make it 100 times better.
Oh yeah, no, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But I think that's why, like, I was kind of pissed when I heard that Americans wanted to remake it. Because Americans don't believe the way we do about the afterlife.
That's true.
when we believe in the afterlife, like, I almost see it like how Hotel de Luna does it. They just, you know, twist it here and there to make it a little bit, like, better for, like, TV. So the concept of what the hotel is for, you know, the afterlife and what her character is supposed to be. We as Asians, we kind of get it because in some way or another, all Asians, we have our own representation of the afterlife in that kind of way.
Yep. And it was not only just her story that I was so invested in. It was also his story, too,
mm-hmm.
that I was just like, oh, man, like, you feel bad for him. And then so many emotions come too. But there is, I think it's one of those dramas that really got me into it. But you know, another drama that I really like was VIP. VIP with Jung Na-ra. She is, it's, you know, it was a really good drama because it's not like a happy, it's not a happy ending drama.
Yeah.
Because the couple doesn't get together. But it's a drama about life, about how the realities of society and life plays a big role in how it affects you. You know, it was so real. And I was just, by the end of it, I was so happy for her, but I was also so sad because she went through so much, like her character went through so much and you just felt so bad for her. Mm-hmm. But I don't think you'd be able to watch it because it's very realistic in a sense where, like, the problems that they go through as a couple, but as individuals.
Like, I like realistic dramas. Like, I've watched Japanese dramas that are very realistic. So I've watched some really old Japanese dramas like One Liter of Tears. I've watched Tayu no Uta. You know, I've watched like all these other Japanese dramas. I love Japanese dramas because when I watch them, I'm not watching them for the sake of like how I watch Korean dramas. But these Japanese dramas that I watch, they're about these people that have illnesses. And the end of it, everyone already knows right at the beginning that the person's going to die. Mm-hmm. So you're already watching the drama knowing that the ending, this person's going to die.
Yeah.
The problem with that drama is that you get sad because this person is enjoying life, dying.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're watching it, like, that's why me as an artist, I love watching dramas like that, because that's the reality of it. That's the reality of the way I look at life, is we're all dying. The moment we come out, the moment we are born, we are dying from the moment we are born. So how do you make of life? And that's why I enjoy watching Japanese movies like that, like One Liter of Tears, you know, Tayu no Uta, you know, I like watching those because it's just the way you look at these people. So these characters, they're no older than us.
Mm-hmm.
They were just high schoolers.
Yeah.
Sure. And now you're being told that you're going to die.
You know, though, is that I enjoy dramas like VIP, but I find it hard to enjoy dramas like that. It's because it's like I'm a very emotional person when it comes to watching these dramas, so when they hurt, I hurt too, 10 times more. And then there are some dramas where, like, they can't accept it and they start begging for a chance to live, but you know that they're gonna die.
No, and
you know without a doubt that they're gonna die. That's why I think
you would love, if you like watching VIP, you would love watching like Tayu no Uta and One Liter of Tears, because the realism behind it, and like some of these stories, they're told, some of these stories are real. This is just exaggerated for TV.
Yeah.
But I can't remember which one it was between those two. Like, I remember watching this as a kid. So I was in high school watching it. But I still fell in love with it, that it's still one of my favorite dramas to this day. And it's influenced the way I storytell, and it's influenced the way I write music. It's influenced the way I look at things.
Yeah, it does. None of your stories have happy endings.
None of my stories have happy endings. But that's at all.
That's because you think that happy endings are... Not that they're bad, it's just too cliche and it's expected.
It's fake. It's fake. Happy endings don't exist. I'm just saying. Happy endings are a fucking lie. I'm just saying, happy endings are fake. They don't last. If they're happy, it's not the ending. It's just a part of the beginning.
I mean, if you die happy, is that not a happy ending? Because you ended
on let me say this, right? If you're dying happy, then to me, the way I look at it is, when I die, I don't think I would die happy. Because number one, I've spent my whole life with either my partner, or I've spent life with my kids, or I've spent life with my grandkids at that point. Then when I die, I'm going alone. Like, that's why, like, I always say to you, it's like, look, if I die, I need to die first before you die. Because I need to at least go be first, because I'll die of a broken heart if you die first. I will die the second you die.
But then you always mock me about how if you die first, then you're gonna go to heaven. You. I was gonna say, you're gonna go to heaven and change all the signs so that I end up going to hell.
Yeah, I would do that too. I'll go first.
I don't want you to.
See, but this
here's the thing. Yeah, here. I can't let you die because if you die, then I will for sure die of heartbreak, and then I'll just be miserable for the rest of my time until I leave this earth. So I can't allow you to die first.
See, the only reason I say I cannot die is because I'm traumatized. Because as a kid, when both my eldest grandma and my grandpa died, my youngest grandma kept telling me as a kid that she wanted to die every day. Every day. She's like, I want to die. I'm like, I'm only a kid, okay? I'm like, what, like, honestly, I'd probably say like 14, like 13, 14. And every day, my grandma's telling me, I want to die. I'm so lonely. I want to die. And we as kids would be like, grandma, you know, you still have grandkids and, you know, you have kids. I want to die. I would hear this every day. So I'm traumatized because I'm like, I hope that I die first between the two of us so that at least I don't have to tell my grandkids I want to die every day.
And you want me to do that? That's horrible.
Hey, at that point, that's on you. I've died already.
But here's the thing. Your grandma's situation was different, okay? Was that her best friend, okay? First off, your grandpa passed away, okay?
Yeah.
And then after, okay, her best friend was like,
oh, no, peace out. I think my eldest grandma died first, and then my grandpa died. I think. I can't remember. I was still a kid.
No, but I thought you said that your grandpa passed away first. I don't remember.
I told you, I'm still a kid at this point.
Either way, two of her best friends, okay, left. They were like, peace out. I'm ready to go, okay? And then she was just there like,
you left me. But you know what it was, too? Like, my grandma was suffering at that time, too.
Yeah, of course.
With a lot of health issues. So I get it, you know, being poked and prodded at every day. Like, I got poked and prodded for like a good year. That wasn't fun. So no, I kind of get it.
Was it she had all, was it
for she me? Had diabetes, and then she had gout. So yeah. I think they chopped one of her toes off. I can't remember.
Well, I know that your dad said that, you know, because of like the gout, that was the thing that hurt her the most. Mm-hmm. That was causing her to be in a lot of pain. That's why she was very like depressed, and she just wanted to, she was ready to go. You know, it's like her kids are grown up. She's seen her grandkids pretty much, you know, growing up too. So she's like, I'm ready. She's ready to say like, peace out to the world. Yep. That's why.
Yeah, and I think that probably had a contributing factor to why I like those dramas.
Yeah.
Because it was kind of real to me, and I was kind of just like, oh, that sounds like my grandma.
This episode's called The Morbid Talks.
Well, we hope you really enjoyed this episode. This episode was a lot more laid back, and we hope to continue doing this. We'll maybe keep it one laid back episode, one serious episode, just to kind of lighten the mood every so often.
Yeah. It's not that we don't want to talk about it. It's just that
sometimes
it's good that there are many podcasts out there, but it's also good that, you know, for us too, that we talk about it, because it helps us when, you know, we hear, if there are people that are going through the same things that we are and they reach out, we can talk it through with them too.
And the thing about this is, like, the reason why I kind of want to change the format of this was because as much as I've grown in life through my horrible experiences and sad experiences, I've also grown with some of the happiest experiences in my life. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to be able to share that as well. You know what I mean? Like, if I continue to share all the sadness that I have in my life.
You just seem like a sad person.
Yeah, I'll just seem like a very sad person. And I don't want people to look at me like that. So I hope that, like, you understand that with this episode, it's a little more lighthearted. I had a lot of fun doing this one.
Yeah, me too.
We hope that you enjoyed this episode. Mm-hmm. We will... I think... We're not sure yet, but we might be taking a week break from this point to work with guests. But because we're also in lockdown, that might change.
Yeah, it just depends on how everything goes, but
and
also
the restrictions.
Mm-hmm. But we're also taking this time to kind of think about how we might want to reformat the podcast, you know, think of some ideas, because although we have fun doing these podcasts, it sometimes we hit that roadblock where it's like, what else are we going to talk about next? Because we don't want to just always talk about something serious. We want to have fun ones like the one we're having today, you know, like something more lighthearted. So we're just taking this time to just figure things out, really.
Yep. And we have guests lined up.
That's
true. So we're going to be working with the guests to get some episodes out with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So until the next time we meet, if restrictions say we can't do so, then we'll come back soon with another episode.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're still good to do it, then we'll go ahead and get some guest episodes for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
This is your host and co-host signing off. Thank you.